Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Janoszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How about you, Eric?
Doing fantastic. We've got some great weather this week. Things are looking good.
Of course, it is June.
It is. But it's been a strange year so far. I mean, we had spring going up into January, then we had winter from February to May.
Yeah, even though we had a couple hot days in May, which made it one of the hottest Mays ever.
Yes.
Figure it out. But anyway, good old New England. Love it.
Absolutely. So this week we're back with the Success Showcase Book Club, and we're talking about An Effective Life by Stephen Covey. And this isn't a book in the traditional sense. This was actually put together after he passed away from notes and lectures that he had done throughout his life. And it's all about tips on how to live an effective life. And it ties back to his classic Seven Habits of Effective People.
Yeah, there's a lot of principles that came directly from that. And this book is just full of quotes and phrases and so on and so forth and examples. And it's a very, very quick read, but it's excellent.
And it does bring up a couple of very interesting concepts. And I think it's very apropos that we do this book right now, because it actually ties into a study that was just released last week. And one of the first things the book talks about is letting nature teach you.
Yeah, in fact, there's five chapters in the book, and each chapter has nature in it. The first chapter is letting nature teach you about natural laws, and then increase your self-awareness, let nature teach you how to nurture relationships, how let nature guide your choices, and let nature show you how to celebrate diversity. So it's all about that. And it's really just all getting back to our source and the habits that he talks about.
Right. And as I mentioned, there was a study released last week that was done in Japan. And the study investigated the benefits of nature on your stress levels, your productivity, things like that. And one of the very interesting stats that, at least that I thought was interesting, is that people spend 93% of their time indoors. So the study was talking about how going out into nature, you take a deep breath, you relax, it helps your perception because you're noticing things. And Stephen Covey has talked about nature for a long time. And this book was talking about the natural laws, how things go, and how interacting with nature can teach you these laws. So I thought it was interesting that particular study had come out. And I think, you know, even though Covey focused on nature, I think we can expand this. Since 93% of our time is spent indoors, looking at the study, I'm not convinced that it's nature itself that has the benefit, because they said even photographs of nature showed these benefits. I think what it is doing something different, getting out of your rut, getting out of your comfort zone, and doing something that you don't usually do. And I think that's what brings the benefits.
Yeah, and it does talk a lot about the power of choice and that we all have that, which is a lot what the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is about too. But I mean, it starts beautifully with a father, with his daughter, with a ladybug and stuff like that flying away. And, he's wondering what to say to her about the ladybug, and all of a sudden it flies away. But it takes a couple of seconds before it realizes that it can do that. And it goes right through the father wishing that he could fly and talking to his daughter about that. And, you know, that one's called The Beginning. And it's just really looking in yourself and the sky's the limit what you can do. And it's really, really important to realize that it's all about other people. And but he does talk a lot about tranquility, and he talks about carrying your own weather, which is really another word for just being proactive when things are, you know, getting you down and so on and so forth. The bottom line is you have the power of choice and you can be proactive at any time. So the way that he relates everything to nature throughout this is really, really clever.
Yes, and the story he tells in the beginning of the man and his daughter really gets you to think, because he talks about how, you know, the ladybug crawls around on his daughter's hand for a while and then remembers that it can fly and flies away. And he equates that to how most of us tend to forget how much we can really accomplish, how much we can really do, because we get caught up in the day-to-day of doing our work and taking care of the house and taking care of all the things that need to be done. We forget that we can spread our wings and fly and do amazing things.
Yes. I mean, and the way that that was set up too is he was in the park with his daughter, and he said he's going to take time off from the cell phone, put everything away and stuff like that, and just concentrate on her. And all of a sudden he starts thinking about, well, there's some message or something like that on his cell phone. Should he pay attention to it? What's going on? And so on and so forth. And then the daughter says, look, daddy, a ladybug in her hand. And it just gets him back focused on the whole thing. It was just a beautiful way to start it. And it ended up as just a beautiful experience between a father and a young, young daughter.
And most of us do have that same problem. Even if we're trying to focus on what's in front of us or, you know, go out in nature, we're pulled back, if not necessarily by a phone ringing or a text coming in, then by those thoughts that, oh, what am I missing? Oh, did I do this? Oh, you know, should I pay attention to my phone? Something important might come in. So we've sort of become self-distracting this way.
Yeah, and obviously with the way that all the distractions are out there as far as cell phones and all this other kind of stuff, it's so easy to get caught up in that. And you know what the message is to just take a deep breath and appreciate everything that's around you. And that's really part of, he didn't mention it in the book, but it really goes as part of sharpening the saw, which is working on everything about yourself around what the six other habits talk about in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Exactly. And the idea that we can actually forget what we're capable of, it's sort of a wake-up call, at least it was to me reading the book, that yes, you know, we've all done things where, you know, our reach exceeded our grasp. And we tend to forget that we can do that. We, you know, sort of recall into our comfort zone and go, oh, okay, this is good here. Forgetting that when we ventured out, we can do great things. And all of us really need to do that. We need to remember what it is we're capable of. Because that's part of leading an effective life, but it's also what makes us happy. It's, oh my God, look what I did. Look what I can do. It breaks you out of that rut when you remember this.
Yeah, there's so many great things in everybody. And, you know, he talks a lot about listening. He talks about interrelationships, which is really, really cool, about how everything and everybody is interrelated to each other. And differences are things to be treasured rather than, you know, looked down upon. There's strength in differences. I mean, there's just so many great analogies in there. And really that's part of what it's all about as far as just taking a deep breath so you can pause long enough to realize all this.
Yeah, he talked a lot about diversity and appreciating people's differences. And at one point, he uses an example of a couple who's divorcing for irreconcilable differences. And he said, what irreconcilable differences mean is that they're looking at their differences, but they're not appreciating them. They're treating them as barriers. And we really need to be able to appreciate the differences in people and see how those differences fit together rather than tear us apart.
No, and he says in the close relationships, not only just recognizing, just treasure them. The bottom line is, you know, differences in people, you can look at them two ways. You can look at them as, I can't believe it, this person's like that. Or you can say, wow, this is really, really cool. And a lot of times you're just comparing yourself to them and maybe you're a little bit jealous or so on and so forth. And if you can just appreciate things in other people and celebrate those, think about how many problems in this world would be solved if people just took a second to recognize something and appreciate something in somebody else, even if you don't have it yourself, and just say, hey, wow, that's really cool. And would that possibly get that person to see the same thing in you? Because other people do see that in you too. It's really, really important to, you know, I love wordplay, and it's just turning things around. People are normally negative, but if they can look at a positive in things and treasure instead of criticize and that kind of thing, it's just so important.
Right. And those differences can be different talents, different points of view, different backgrounds. There's really no limit to the differences, but when you start to appreciate them, you can even learn from them. It helps you grow, and it makes your life so much better. And again, a more effective life, but also a happier life. Because who always wants to be getting upset? You know, people we see all the time now getting offended over everything. And well, if you take that step back and appreciate that it's a different point of view, or, you know, a different set of circumstances, rather than just getting offended by it, you get along with people better, you learn more, and things work better.
Yeah, and every present moment is a choice. So even if you have been on a bad streak and so on and so forth, at any point in time, you can just take a look at nature, pause for a second, and appreciate what's going on, no matter what's going on in the moment. You have that choice to do that. And that is really a huge theme in this book. Let nature increase your self-awareness is the title of chapter two. He talks about, you know, the if I haves versus just being. It's amazing.
All right. In that chapter, he talks about have versus be. And he says, you know, if you're looking at things like, oh, I'll be happy if I have this or if I have that, rather than being happy when you can be something.
Yeah.
It's a difference between a possession and a characteristic. The characteristic takes you so much further because it becomes who you are, and it becomes about you yourself rather than what you might own.
Yeah, I mean, we love using the terminology, you know, if I have yes, but this, yes, but that, and so on and so forth, and you're never going to be happy. If you can go yes, and that's really the art of being in the moment. And just understanding and looking at all the positive things that are out there and looking for a positive solution to things, which is a choice.
Yes, and it's a choice we can always make. And, you know, that's something else that people forget is that they have the ability to make that choice. They don't have to let circumstances choose for them.
Yeah, and letting circumstances choose for them is a choice also. Every moment.
Right.
So the bottom line is you can either just float through brain dead and let the world control you, which is a choice, or you can take charge.
Exactly. And then he also talks, when he's talking about learning from nature, about learning from the garden. and how gardening teaches you how to build relationships and how to nurture relationships. And it's very true, because if you've done any gardening, you know that for a garden to grow and for a garden to actually, you know, achieve its, you know, its full possibility, it takes a lot of work and a lot of nurturing. You can't just toss seeds down and hope something's going to grow. And he talks about how there's preparation involved and there's constant nurturing involved, and how growing a garden is very much the same as growing a relationship. And most of us, you know, if we plant a garden, we know, oh, okay, this is something, you know, I've got to work at. But we tend not to think about that in terms of relationships. We just think, oh, I know this person. Okay, the relationship will take care of itself. And that's not really true.
Not if you want to have a good relationship.
Right.
You know, he talks in that chapter about nurturing relationships through sacrifice, sacrificing your ego and trusting people. He talks about the habit beginning with the end in mind. And if you think about it, if you sacrifice your ego and you listen to the person and, again, recognize the wonderfulness of them, even though there's differences between the two of you, one of the best ways to get people to appreciate you is to recognize that in them. And so if you sacrifice your own ego for them, that is one of the true keys in developing positive relationships. And you're going to feel a lot better for that yourself, especially when you turn that into a habit.
All right. And it's, again, all about building. You're building a relationship. You're growing a relationship. It goes back to making that choice. Well, are you choosing to just let things happen, or are you choosing to take a proactive role and build your relationships into relationships that you really want to have? And it really becomes the question of, do you just want a bunch of acquaintances, or do you want people who you are close to? And it takes work, and it takes sacrifice, and you have to go through it. And learning this from gardening was, I thought, a great analogy, and quite frankly, one I'd never thought of.
No, I had neither. And I mean, he does go on and talk about nature guiding your choices, and he talks about habits 4, 5, and 6, which are the interpersonal relationships that you need not only to be a successful person, like you talked about in that book, but habits 4, 5, and 6 are first think win-win. The next habit, number 5, is seek first to understand and then to be understood, which is the art of listening. And then number 6 is synergizing, figuring out the best way to leverage each other's talents to just absolutely conquer any goal that you're looking to do. It's the whole is much greater than the sum of the parts.
Right. And all of his lessons do really build on each other, because when you think about synergy, for two people to be able to gain synergy, or a team of people, or even an entire company or organization to gain synergy, you have to play off each other's strengths. Now, if everybody's exactly the same and has the same strengths, you're not getting any synergy. That synergy is about appreciating the differences and being able to use those differences to offset your own weaknesses and work together to achieve more.
Yeah. And it builds out of seeking to win first, and then seeking first to understand and then be understood. I mean, it's beautiful the way those 7 habits build upon each other. It's something that people should go back to all the time. And if you don't have that book, at least you can go online and print out the diagram of all of them, and they're all going to make sense to you.
Right. And as he talks about in an effective life, everything is interconnected. So everything you do affects everything else you do. And when you look at things as connected, you start seeing where things can go. In day-to-day life, we tend to fall into the trap of just looking at what's immediately in front of us, what we have to get done, what we have to push through, And we don't see how that task is going to affect the next task, or how what you just finished is affecting what you're doing now. And everything really is interconnected. When you put all of the pieces together, the goal is for it to be greater than the sum of its parts. But you're never going to see that sum until you can look at all of it together and see the interconnectedness of it.
He talks about in chapter 4, let nature guide your choices. He talks about integrity being something that you just are in the way that you approach people and help people out. And then number 5 is let nature show you how to celebrate diversity. And that's, we've talked a little bit about the diversity subject before, but that was just a beautiful way to tie everything together at the end. And the book does have a journal where you can actually go through, and at the end it asks you all the questions chapter by chapter to think about so that you can start writing your own answers and your own plans based upon the different chapters that are in there.
All right, and I think that's something that's very important, is that the book isn't just talking about theory. With that journal, it actually shows you how to implement the topics in the book into your own life. And that's a connection that a lot of people have problems with. They'll read a great book, but then there'll be a disconnect between the topics in the book and how to apply them in their own lives. And this actually put the journal right in there to help you make that connection.
Yeah, he talked about a couple of methods. Visualization is very, very important, and the questions will get you to visualize that. In fact, the whole book gets you to visualize things. And then affirmations, which is very similar to beginning with the end in mind. But as you mentioned, it's really, really important to do something with it after reading it. And this book has so many different tips in there and different ways to guide you that it's very, very important to do the journaling.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that I think was a drawback in this book is that it does rely so much on the 7 habits. It's a good book by itself, but if you've already read the 7 habits, it's that much better because you have that background. Without that background, the book it doesn't go very deep into each of these things. Again, it's a very quick read, but it assumes that you're familiar with the 7 habits. And if you are, it doesn't need to go deeper because the other book already did. So as much as I liked this book, you have to recommend that before you read it, read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People first.
Yeah, I totally agree. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a must read. And then what this is, it's really taking it and putting it into action. And it's a nice review session if you haven't read the 7 Habits in a while. But they all come back. And it's something, again, I highly recommend reading it, but also printing them out in one way or another. You can actually get a list or you can get a diagram just by going online and printing that out. And if you have that in front of you to guide you, it's going to help you out in a lot of these moments where you could just coast and instead make a choice to do something positive.
Yes, and this is actually one, I looked into it, and there's actually a series of these books of Covey's lectures and notes. And I think they're all really meant to take those basic concepts that were in the 7 habits and not just remind you of it, but give you a different way of looking at them so that you can try to find the best way to integrate them into your lives. This one focused on learning from nature. But I think each of these, they're very important reminders because the concepts are so important. And yet, when you read 7 Habits, you go, oh, yes, okay, I get it. But then your day-to-day life comes and sort of overwhelms you, and it gets put on the back burner. So I think these are a great way to remind yourself and give yourself a fresh perspective on them as well.
Yeah, and as he mentioned at the beginning of the book, I mean, the seven habits, you know, people always walk up to him and said, thank you so much, you know, for the book. I can't believe you came up with that. And he said, I didn't come up with it. I just wrote the book. The seven habits have always been there, which was, you know, it's absolutely true. I mean, these are true laws of how to behave and how to act to achieve success in your life. And obviously, if you're successful in your life, the way you handle yourself, it's going to go through your business and everything else that you do. So absolutely. And as you said, I mean, this and some of the other books were written after he unfortunately passed away several years ago from an accident, as I recall. So, but what a legacy he left behind.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things they say early on in the book is that, you know, he spent so much time teaching, but what made him a great teacher was the fact that he was a great student. He never stopped learning. And that's something that we all have to do. I had a conversation at a networking event not too long ago where we were talking about being experts in our fields. And we were talking about the fact that being an expert doesn't mean that you know everything, because things keep changing. So even an expert has to keep learning. And the more you can learn and the more you can pass on and teach to others, the more effective your life becomes.
Absolutely.
So we're just about coming up on the end of our time. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway from an effective life?
Well, first of all, I would go out, as you said, and get and read The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And then what this book teaches you is to just, in this case, let nature guide you. But the bottom line is look for ways to practice.
Yeah, that's very important. I think the big takeaway I got from this book is the fact that these are natural laws. You know, again, as Stephen Covey said, he didn't come up with the laws. He just wrote the book. And the way an effective life shows these to you in terms of what's going on in nature and gardening and a relationship between a father and a little girl, it really hammers at home that all of this is around us. It's natural law. And if we just accept that and move forward with it and apply it in our own lives, there's no telling how far we can go. And I think that was the big takeaway, was remember what you can do and see what's around you. And those two things really will push you through. You've been listening to The Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the iTunes Store, the Apple Podcasts app, and wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.